that was a sexy title yesterday, wasn't it? What is the Dan and Ephraim Not Sealed. Woo, that is a hot topic. It's no wonder that I do not have 100,000 views on YouTube because of titles like that. Titles like Dan and Ephraim Not Sealed. Hello, everyone. Martin Zenu. I was going to say bringing you, and I said Martin Zenu. Martin Zender bringing you the boring to some word of God. And yet to you, it's not boring. Because you see, I am not into the fantastic. Even though if you really were honest with yourself, this stuff is more fantastic than any of the New World Order stuff, the conspiracy stuff that the popular teachers are out there teaching. The populace today who purport to want to hear spiritual things are really no better than the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers of Athens and Mars Hill who just wanted to hear something new. That's all they wanted. They wanted their ears tickled. They wanted to hear some sensational thing. And I admit, you know, when I go on Yahoo News and I see something spectacular, like, you know, three-headed pig born in Nebraska, I want to see it. Three-headed pig, wow. That's the whole concept behind the circus sideshow, is that, yeah, I would like to see a woman with sheep hair. God, yeah, I would like to see a man with a snake for a nose. So you go in, you pay for it, and you see it, or you don't, or whatever. But when it comes to this, what God does, I can't see how anybody could be dissatisfied, because truth here with God is stranger than fiction, and it's fantastic. And so I find, though, that many people do not want to know that. They're more content just to follow their own devices and their own thrills, their own chills, their own spills. But we have thrills, chills, spills here from the deity himself, and we're looking into these. And likewise today, nobody's going to be drawn to this topic which I have for you today, which is the war against Midian. Is that what it is? Midian. See, I mean, generally, I wouldn't flock to this type of thing myself. So I am forcing myself to look into the scriptures, which I, you know, Numbers chapter 31, not usually there, not a favorite address of mine. I'm reading The Unveiling of Jesus Christ by A.E. Nock, and it's not always exciting. Many times I have to force myself to go to this book. And because of that, you can just hit play, drink your coffee, sit back, and I educate you. But don't feel guilty about it. Great, this is my role, and I like doing it. I'm happy for you that you can just sit back, drive your car, drink your coffee, and enjoy my hours of labor, my painstaking, forcing myself to study things which would be otherwise uninteresting to me. Rather see a three-headed pig. But this stuff becomes interesting as I look into it, and I get more enthusiastic about it so that I can be excited. I can make the war against Midian sexy. I can do it, and I'm going to attempt that feat today. So we're going to go to Numbers chapter 31. Why are we doing this? Great question. Because we're going to see that there was a time in history that God also sealed people from Israel, and not one was lost. And this is interesting because history repeats itself. Again, God is usually in a big, fat, hairy, predictable, glorious rut. And he keeps doing the same things all the time. And so as soon as you think there's something fantastic about Revelation, that God is sealing 144,000 from every tribe and preserving them miraculously through this barrage of trial and hatred and locusts and terrible meteors named Absent, then you realize, sorry, not meteors, oh God, no, asteroids, planetoids, then you realize that it's business as usual for God, only in a much greater, more horrifying degree. It's the degree that is terrifying here. So this will also touch upon things I brought up Monday, disturbing things of why God does certain things. It's almost a subtopic that I'm going to get into, but I'm going to try to contain it to this show. All right, how much time do I have? Oh, I'm only 4 minutes in. We're good. Numbers 31, the war against Midian. Execute the vengeance. This is chapter 31, verse 1, Numbers 31. And I'm reading from the Young's Literal Translation. It's hard to believe that Young's Literal snuck in here on this BibleGateway.com, because it's fairly literal. Usually, the best translations are off the map, like the Concordant, the Devar. You're not going to find those here. So Young's literal snuck in the back way. And Jehovah speaketh unto Moses, saying, execute the vengeance of the sons of Israel against the Midianites. Afterwards thou art gathered unto thy people. Got one more task for you, Moses, before you're going to go the way of all humans, and that is, I want you to kill a bunch of Midianites, and then you've done your deed. Now, God kills, but he makes alive. This is a hard, hard chapter, and Revelation is a hard, hard book. So this is all relevant, because God does hard things, and I'm sorry, but the locusts are going to torment people, and the 200 million cavalry that we're going to look at under the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet, is that the last three trumpets, the woe trumpets. There's four, the trumpets are divided four and three, just like the seals. We're going to see this. The seals, seven seals, four and three. Trumpets, seven trumpets, four and three. The first four are, quote, natural. Second three are like, oh, God is after us. So many people are going to die. And you need to be relatively comfortable with this. One of my shows last week was called Laugh at Calamity. And I can't perfectly do that because calamity makes me crazy. And I'm very sorrowful. I remember when the Space Shuttle Challenger blew up in 1986. I mourned for a week, for 2 weeks. Human tragedy touches me. So I'm not going through this unscathed. But again, we look at the big picture and we see that God does this before. He kills, but he makes alive. So he's telling Moses to kill the Midianites. And Moses said to the people, saying, be ye armed, some of you. That's the choosing of God. Verse 3, be armed, some of you. God does not choose everyone. He chooses 144,000 out of all of Israel. It's a percentage. Just like Jesus chose the one lame man at the pool of, where was that, Bethsaida? And he leaves the other ones crippled. Why does God choose certain people? He does. It's according to his pleasure. Be armed, some of you, for the host, and they are against Midian, to put the vengeance of Jehovah on Midian. Put it on them. That's what God's saying. Put it on them. This is a really good insight, a good look microscopically at the huge picture of Revelation. If we understand this, Numbers 31, it should help us to better understand Revelation, the entire book, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, to understand God's war against humanity, and to see that it's not the end. It's a means to the end. And the end is going to be glorious, and everything's going to be justified. God's going to be a genius. In the meantime, he does hard stuff. And this is how they do it. They seal 1,000 for a tribe. I'm in verse 4 of Numbers 31, Young's literal translation. Seal 1,000 for a tribe, 1,000 for a tribe to all the tribes of Israel. Do send to the host. So I'm sending 12,000, literally 12,000, not 12,001, not 11,999. And there are given out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 for a tribe, 12,000 armed ones of the host. Of what host? The host of Israel, to go against the host of Midian, because they're idolaters and God wants them out of the way. So he's going to kill them. And Moses sends them. It says sendeth, but I hate the King James language. I don't know why anyone preserves that. It ought to be abolished. Even the concordant preserves it, using thy and thou and thee, and it's just false holiness. There's lots of holiness without ETH added. I don't understand this. So I'm going to, as I go, get rid of it myself. I'm going to be an Elohim here and subject this text to my whim. And so Moses sends them 1,000 for a tribe to the host, them and Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, to the host, and the holy vessels and the trumpets of the shouting in his hand. Trumpets of the shouting. Next week, I think we'll be talking about the seven trumpets, because starting in chapter 8, we're in chapter 7 now, Miracle of Miracles. Starting in chapter 8, we're going to talk about trumpets and the seven trumpets. So we're getting more intense in the book of the unveiling. So here are trumpets also. Sometimes trumpets celebrate, sometimes trumpets herald destruction and judgment. Here it's definitely destruction and judgment. And they war against Midian, as Jehovah commanded Moses, and they slayed every male. This is the tough part. It talks about women, which also touches the, you know, I'm just a messenger, okay? The reason women are mentioned here, you're going to see, it also will relate us to the 144,000, why they're celibates, if you care. You're here because you care. And we are mature, I pray. And we're discussing hard things that God does. And we're not going to shrink from this. And because God says, why didn't you kill every woman? Or why didn't you, you know, because God says things like this, which he's going to say here. I almost apologized. I almost said sorry. But I'm not going to say that. Because I'm not going to apologize for God. I know some of you don't like it. This is Israel stuff. It's true. It's true. But can I say this? That even in the body of Christ, some are chosen and some aren't. You may be alone in your family as one chosen. And your parents might not be. I know a woman in California near Fresno who is a believer, true blue, sealed daughter of God, sealed no less than the 144,000, and yet her parents with whom she lives are unbelievers, and yet they're religious unbelievers. So her spirit is vexed daily by the presence of unbelief. And in the Old Testament, God, you could go out and kill those people. They're unbelievers. Slay them. But we're in an era of grace now. And again, this era of grace is a window between two bookends of judgment and killing. Can you see that? Can you see the rarity of the age we're in? And some of it might be detrimental to your health. In other words, it might be, you know, fun to go out and kill your enemies, but we can't do that today. We're not called to do it because we're in an era of grace. And when God is conciliated to the world, then we are conciliated to the world. And so we endure the hardships of living with unbelievers. We endure the hardships of being lied about, of being frustrated, and we look to God, and it tries us, and it prepares us to minister to the celestial host, who are also unbelievers. And by the patience we learned here, we're going to be able to apply that patience and that grace to them being the celestial host. So it's advantageous to us, to our particular call, to not kill our enemies today. That I will say sorry for, you know. It would be, and I wouldn't say fun. It wouldn't be fun to kill your enemies, but we've talked about this before. Your enemies will get what's coming to them. But in the meantime, I just want you to help you appreciate, see the rarity of the window we're in, the window of grace. When you can see in Numbers 31, we have God sending out his people to kill. And in Revelation, which comes right after we're snatched away, not right after, but yeah, pretty much right after God takes up with his people, Israel, we're the nations. We're that which is withholding. We're the detainer. That God is going to again execute wholesale killing, because this is what happens when he's dealing with Israel. It's a law-based system where he hates idolatry. He hates it. He always hates it. But again, we're in this window. We're in an ark. And again, I teach this everywhere. This is a rare opportunity to believe. And so I know only God can give belief, but I'm exhorting people to believe. And I'm trusting that if God means for it to happen, it will happen. In the meantime, I'm part of the plan, right? And you're part of the plan. We are not fatalists. Yeah, I know. Obviously, I didn't get to the rest of chapter 31 here, Numbers. But I'm going to do that tomorrow. We are not fatalists. We participate in what God is doing because he is operating in us to will and to work for the sake of his delight. I'm doing my job right now for you. You do your job to those around you, to those you work with, to your parents, to your children, even if it's only living a godly life and having those things, that those freedoms God gave you, having those to yourself and not imposing your freedom on other people, not giving it up either. All these things, this interplay that God has ordained for us between ourselves who have been chosen for the body of Christ and those who have not been chosen. This is part of our training ground, that we don't kill our enemies. So get through it. All you have to do is endure. And in the meantime, we have this glorious opportunity to fellowship with each other. And I take advantage of that every chance I get.